All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the latest episode of Ear to Ear Podcast, a somber episode of Ear to Ear Podcast. Not a great weekend, Lanny. How you doing today, buddy?
Good, my man. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm all right. Not the best showing. Not a good weekend for us. Played Kansas State yesterday. Took the loss, 45-18. Green, not looking good. 9 of 19 for one touchdown, two picks. Two touchdowns if you count as pick six to Kansas State, I guess. Avery Johnson pretty much did what I was afraid of, man. He picked apart the secondary. We concentrated so much on shutting down the run, which we did. We held Giddens to 57 yards, which is a season low, probably a career low for him. But they took advantage by going in the air and destroying our secondary. But you know what, though? I had fun.
I had a great time.
Yeah, you know, had fun. Weather was nice. Shout out to my buddy Josh that sits in front of me at the games. He had a lot of fun. When there were like 10 people left in our section that were not wearing purple, he was the only one standing. So, you know, credit to Josh. He did something we didn't expect. He continued to stand throughout the game. he's a cool guy, but I don't know, man. You know, I don't know where to start. Just fire off. Tell me what you didn't like about yesterday. Might be just easier to tell me what you did like about yesterday.
What I did like, oh man.
Other than the tailgating,
I like the homecoming festivities. as far as just seeing the, you know what I'm saying, the alumni roll into town, and you know the alumni band, and that's just always awesome. You know, to see that, and you know, come on, you old grads, get with us, young lads. You know, but that's I don't know really what to say or do right now. How I feel is it's just you're getting beat up. Your offensive line took a beat
all day, all day.
I mean, it looked like every play the offensive line was picking ourselves up. And no matter who the quarterback is, you're in for a long day when your line can't block nobody.
Right.
And they had their mind made up running. It seemed like our running backs ran good. They ran hard, you know, 150 yards rushing again. And it was just, they seemed like they were one step or needed one block from getting that 15-yard gain instead of a 4-yard gain.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's our suit, you know, to run. You know, run it down your throat. And but it just seems like every pass that GG throws, it's either high, low, behind. He don't throw a strike. And we all know that he is not a passing quarterback. We know that.
He's not a quarterback. He's a running back that can toss the ball every once in a while. I'm sorry. That's just what it is.
I got to give this out there to him. For those who boo him, for those who, you know, nay say GG, it is what it is. But the kid took an absolute beating.
Dude, did you – that face mask?
Oh, my goodness.
That face mask?
Let's go into that first.
I had flashbacks to Clint Trickett. TCU, like what? Or I think it was TCU way back when. Like, I was like, "Holy crap, dude!" Like, they snapped his neck. Like, it was nasty.
The part that bothered me the worst about it all was they almost didn't throw a flag.
Yeah, they waited like 10 seconds.
So late. It was so late. I'm like, that is obvious.
Yeah,
that's an obvious. And you, I don't know how many referees you have out there. You know, 2, 4, 5, 6, 8 referees, something like that.
Seven total. But
you're trying to tell me that it took that long for somebody to throw one on that?
Yeah.
And our wide receivers got held the whole game. Not saying that, but anytime across they ran slants, whatever. I mean, it was hand on wrists holding them back.
Yeah.
And you know, Cole Taylor is a absolute monster of a target out there.
He's 6'7". He's 6'7" too. And sorry, guys, my voice. I was sick this past week, and I was screaming yesterday, so my voice is going to be a little in and out. But like, the kid is 6'7", 260 pounds, solid. Like anytime he catches the ball, it takes three guys to bring him down.
And he's such a weapon. And I just feel he should be targeted at least two times a drive. And, 10 times a game. He should be targeted 10 times a game.
Well, he just about is now. I mean, he's getting a lot of targets in the last, but pretty much the whole season for the most part.
But he's really not catching a ball 12 yards deep. He's catching 6 yards and then taking a beating for those next 3 or 4.
I'm not trying to be mean, but Green can't hit a 12-yard slant. So we're not going to throw the ball to him 12 yards. Yeah. I mean, it's like you said it a minute ago. It's above, it's below, it's in front, it's behind. I mean, how many times, like, it was a simple out pass to the left hash yesterday, and I don't remember who the receiver was, but he had to bend down to his ankles to catch it and then pick it up and try to take off. And by the time you have to bend down to catch it, take up and try to take off, a defender's on you. You're not going to gain yards that way.
I was totally, like, in disbelief to a point whenever he threw that great pass to the other team. The guy took it in for a touchdown. Who the hell was he throwing? I mean, how do you not see that guy?
Dude, he's throwing it.
The dude didn't make a play.
He was there in the spot.
He simply dropped into coverage and did his job, and he didn't have to go left, right, jump. I mean,
he was there.
It was a perfect pass, man. It was right there. Right. I mean,
I don't know. I don't know. I I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest. A lot of people know me, know that I'm, I'm a Nico fan. I think he's going to be a great player. And after Nico came in the second half, unfortunately, Green, I hope he heals up all right. He got injured there in the first half. I think somebody that texted me told me it was an upper oblique injury.
Upper body injury.
And, when Nico came in, his first couple drives shaky. It's almost like he was, after he calmed down, I think he played pretty well. But at that point, the game was already gone. The defense wasn't being able to stop him. But he threw strikes. He throws a laser. And I think some of the things, that's something that if Green could be able to do would help him, but he can't. But if you ask me, I think the refs moved the ball for us more efficiently than our offense did.
At times,
I mean, there were people there. I'm sorry. I'm going to go. I don't really have much of a problem with how the game was called yesterday, as far as the rest.
No, I'm not. It was.
They got away with some holding, but we did too. Independent. We did too,
brother. You could call it on every play.
I mean, you could.
Yeah.
But somebody behind me was yelling, "We're getting screwed by the refs. It's always the refs." Blah, blah, blah. Okay. We gained 96 yards off of Kansas State's penalties. Yeah. Do you know how many yards they gained off of ours?
No clue.
35. We had almost three times as much yardage gained, I guess you could say, off of their penalties than they did off of us. Now, how is that? If anything, the refs favored us more yesterday.
The penalty that I don't understand, and it's the way it is. I mean, I can't change it. No one really can, but I don't understand is you got pass interference on a defense, which is a 15-yard automatic first down, correct?
Yes.
And you got holding on the offense, which is 10 yards, replay the down, correct? Right.
Yep.
How in the hell are those offsetting penalties?
I've never.
It's across. If I watch Fairmont State play Glenville, it's the same call.
It's a rule of the offset.
It is.
I don't understand it. And if there's anybody out there that does, put a comment or something and tell us, because the way I see it, if you get a PI call, and that's 15 yards, and I hold, and that's 10, then that's 5 yards we move up instead of nothing. I don't understand it. Right.
And that's what I'm sitting there, because I'm losing my mind, and the guys in front of me we're talking, and I said, I just don't understand that concept of it. I said, because they should go, okay, this is where the play started. It goes 15 yards from there, and then we deduct a 10-yard holding penalty from that. It's a 5-yard first down, Yeah. And I just don't understand. I'm dumb. I'm done. Yeah.
No, I don't know. I'm the same way, dude. I agree. But going back to what originally kind of sparked this here, you made the comment about, you know, people booing Green. I'm going to be honest with you. I feel bad for the kid.
I feel awful for him.
Yeah. And you know.
But I got more to it. Go ahead. I got more to it, but go ahead.
Okay. But here's the thing. Okay. I am of the mind that these guys are getting paid, so it does open them up to more scrutiny. I'm going to be honest about that, okay? It does. But even at a professional game, I'm not booing people just because, and here's why. Nobody wants to go out there and suck. Nobody gets up and kicks off and is like, all right, today I'm going to throw two picks. Like, yeah, it's not, you know what I mean? Like, I'll give the kid this. He's got heart. He runs hard. He does everything that he can do to try to move this team along. I'm sorry. He's just not a quarterback. He's a running back that can throw the ball every once in a while and hit a receiver. And it's nothing against him. It's against Neil Brown more than anything, because Neil Brown's the one that sticks with these guys. And, well, you know, he deserves to be out there. If he can't do the job, I'm sorry. He doesn't deserve to be out there. But I do. I feel bad for the kid. So I'm not going to sit there and boo him. Even though they're getting paid, you know how I feel about that. I think I don't boo professionals just because I don't care what level you are. Your goal isn't to go out there and suck.
Yeah.
Right. So that's my thing on it. Like, don't boo him. Don't boo him. You know, come on. Boo Neil Brown. Boo him all day.
Right. I get upset and I will let out my frustration on a boo on a bad play call or a bad scheme or something of that sort. I've never booed a kid. I never boo a kid out there. And if you do, that's on you. That's your opinion. You paid for your seat to do it. And that's how you feel. Yeah. 1000% let the boo birds fly all day.
Right.
You know, sure. But I'm really frustrated with there's no change. There's no change in the game plan. We are seeing the same thing week to week to week. And good. And I'm not saying, K-State has better players than us.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
We'll come to that. We'll come to that in a little bit. Better. I got something for you. You'll come. Okay. We'll come to that in a little bit.
Okay. I think Iowa State had better players. Penn State had better players. Pitt did not have better players. Pitt, their players, player for player, was not better.
I think their quarterback was a lot better.
And I'm in the same boat as where if we play K-State again here in a month, K-State beats us handily again because we have no answers for their player. We either play really, really good at one phase. And what I'm saying is if we play great run defense, our pass defense falls apart. If we play really good against the pass, which we haven't done all year, but the running game tears us apart, you know, kind of like, you know, Kansas. You know, all Kansas had to do is keep running the ball and they beat us. Simple fact.
I still don't know why they quit running the ball.
But thank goodness, I think our gauntlet is over. We play well, here we go. We play pretty good against bad teams, and thank God our next five games are against pretty bad teams. They're not good teams. Just let's be real with it. If anything, they're right there with us. And I'm not saying we should win five, but I have put money that we win four of the next five.
Oh, there ain't no freaking way. We're going to beat Arizona.
Okay, we can talk about this here. Roll it on later. Now, whatever you want to go, we can go. Cool. We can go, C-Ray. We can go.
We can go. I'm going to tell you something right now. All right, at the beginning of the year, let's come back to this when we go to the look ahead for Arizona.
Okay.
All right. For right now, I still got a couple other things I want to.
I don't see your pencil in here. Pencil this in.
Pencil right here.
Okay.
It's right here. There you go. All right, Mark, come back. Because we've kind of started a couple conversations. We haven't gone back to sum up because we're so frustrated. The nation as a whole is frustrated.
You know, yeah.
First off, Hoppy Kercheval, I'm going to tell you something right now. Okay, he's on Three Guys this morning, and they're talking about everything, and he says, The people that have been calling for Neil to be fired for the last couple of years, you can just disregard them. Why? Because they've been right? Because they've hit the nail on the head before everybody else in the freaking fan base has? Get out of here, dude. I want to get that out of the way right now.
Okay.
I just want to get that off my chest. Anyway, yeah, nothing was good about yesterday. O-line played bad.
There wasn't nothing good about yesterday.
Green didn't play good. Nico, he played okay once he settled down, but he and in Green's defense, neither one of them got any help from the O-line.
No.
So even though I think Nico played better as a passer yesterday, he still didn't have any more time than Green did to throw
them. No.
The only good thing about yesterday was our defense kept a very good running back who's averaging over 100 yards a game under 60. He had 57 yards. All right. You made the comment a minute ago about things don't change. Things don't change because, in my opinion, and I'm sorry, I've come to the conclusion that he's a narcissist that thinks that what's going on in his brain, we're all puny people that don't understand anything. What's going on in his brain is so much more advanced than what anybody else can figure out. But what I'm tired of hearing in the same excuses every post game is we constantly get the same response every week. We got to do better. I got to fix that. It's on us, the coaches, to fix things. It's on us to turn this around. Look, we're going to turn this around and we're going to get better. We've been listening to that for 5.5 years and nothing's gotten better. But he continues to do the same thing every game. It's the literal definition of insanity. He keeps doing the same crap constantly and expecting a different result. We are now 3-18. That's something else. Everybody keeps saying we're 3-17. That's wrong. I've looked at this three different times. I've checked the math on this. We are 3-18 against ranked teams. That is a 16% win percentage. So I will give you this. It's a good thing that nobody else right now is ranked left on our schedule. Texas Tech, I didn't put money because I'm not a betting man. Hypothetically, I would have put money that Texas Tech was going to give it to Baylor pretty good this year because of how bad Baylor is. And I figured Texas Tech would be ranked come this next week. Dude, Baylor thrashed them, which makes me now think, you know what? Baylor might put it to us.
Or Texas Tech is trash. So
they were 5-1. Before Baylor, they were 5-1, and their only loss was against a Big Ten 5-1 team. So you look at that, that's, in my opinion, not trash. That was something I was legitimately worried about. Now, can they rebound from that? And maybe they're the last game on the schedule. They got time to turn around and still get into maybe 25-24 spot by the time we get there.
Yeah, it depends on who they play and where at and weather conditions. Right. And, there's a lot that goes into it, but
I don't know. But here's something I want to talk about real quick, and then we'll go to the look ahead to Arizona, and we can hash out what we think about the rest of the game. I assume you heard about the whole airplane banner thing. This group that got together and raised money, we're going to fly a banner that says fire
nearby. Dummies.
Oh, get out of here. Now, listen. Well, you know, tell me your thoughts about it. What do you think?
It's ridiculous. What is it going to prove? For one, that I'm mad and I put $25 into that GoFundMe plane ride that we're going to fly a banner and it's going to get his attention and it's going to get the athletic director's attention and everybody who writes a check at WVU's attention and we want him fired with your pitchfork in the blue lot walking around. Get the hell out of here.
I would probably join them at this point.
And nothing's going to happen. You're insignificant. I am insignificant to this.
Right.
You know, let's say this. You know, I made a comment on somebody's TikTok thing. If they lose the K-State, I'm selling my baby. I said, go ahead and sell them. Nobody cares what your opinion is. Sell them. Don't come. If you don't want to come, don't come. But have a good time in the parking lot. Don't just go into the game.
Yeah. Have a good time in the parking lot. You can have fun. Yeah. Enjoy the tailgate. But, enjoy the weather.
But back to the airplane with the banner thing. Poof, poof. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Right. I see what you're saying. And you're right. At the end of the day, the university doesn't care. But it's
The people are uproaring. You know,
but here's the thing. I get it. Fans want change. And right now it looks like the university, you know, isn't going to make any changes. They're not going to do anything about it. No. Our program has been driven into the ground at the hands of Neil Brown, Gordon Gee, and Shane Lyons. Okay. We're at a point where when we beat teams, it's a bad loss, Lanny. Teams like to be like, oh man, you lost to West Virginia. That's a bad loss. That's where we are.
That's a bad look.
That's a bad look. So I get it. I don't have a problem with it. All these people out there saying it's an embarrassment and it's a bad look on the program. It's no damn worse than what Neil's doing to our program right now. It's not any more embarrassing than us being a laughingstock. It's not any more embarrassing than being on Pat McAfee being on game day and bringing up West Virginia and Kirk Herbstreit being like, oh, come on, do we have to do this again? Like, we're at a point where we have zero respect among anybody in college football right now. So as far as I'm concerned, I get it. It might not be the thing that Wren says, oh, man, there's an airplane in the air. I better make a change. No, but it might be the thing that sparks something. It might be the catalyst that might spark some people to say, you know what? Maybe enough's enough. Maybe like, hey, a program that hasn't been ranked in 6 years because we have a coach that just can't get over the hump. Maybe it's time for something. And the other part saying it's a response to Neil's comment this past week, it's not a response to the comment this past week. It's a culmination of what we've seen for almost 6 years now. It's just everything that's happened within the last week is the straw that broke the camel's back.
Well, it's coming to a head. I mean, and it's festering at this point.
So festering, that's a good way to put it. This stuff's been festering, and it's been festering a little more every year. Last year, they put a little salve on that fester. It was like, hey, you know what? We won 8 games this year against all sub-500 teams except one that was 7-6. But hey, you know what? That's a little balm on there. Keep it. But you know what? Now we're turning around this year, and guess what? We've played 4 ranked teams this season, and we're 0-4 against those ranked team seasons. Which leads me to this graphic that you're going to love, Lanny, because everybody goes through the whole excuses on why we are where we are. Whether it's COVID, whether it's NIL, whether it's transfer portal. Whatever it is, guess what? Every team in college football has to deal with the same crap we do. Well, it's resources. Well, you know something? Kansas State, their resources are not that much better than ours. They're not some kind of superpower in the NIL. They're not a blue blood program. But guess what they did? They hired a coach the same time that we hired a coach. And this is the difference in 6 years at Kansas State, who, again, we all know is not that much better of a program in any of these than we are. Okay. 6 years for Chris Kleiman, 6 years for Neil Brown. If you're looking at it on YouTube, you can read it. If you're not, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Chris Kleiman has had one losing season. It was his second season in 2020, 4-6, the COVID year. COVID year is an asterisk for everybody because we have an asterisk beside COVID year because we had Oklahoma and I think Maryland and I think NC State that were 3 games that were canceled that year. And I'm telling you right now, what was it? We went 5-4 in our quote unquote regular season in 2020. Mm-hmm. We don't finish 2020 with a winning season if Maryland, NC State, and Oklahoma are all on that schedule. Okay. Let's be honest about that.
Well, so what jumps off of me with this chart, if you're listening, not watching, you can't see it, obviously, but just class rankings. You know, that shows that a guy develops players and gets the absolute best out of them compared to somebody who doesn't, because you're talking class ranking 64.
Hold on. You just told me though, Lanny, but you just told me they have better players than we do. Now he develops them into better players. Sure.
Okay.
I'll read this. I'll tell you what, I do want to read this off though, for the people that aren't watching on YouTube. I'm going to go 2019 through 2024, okay? Class ranking for Chris Kleiman at K-State, 2019 through 24. Rankings are 64, 52, 56, 63, 33, 54, okay? That's an average rank of 54 for class ranking. Neil Brown's 2019 through 2024 class rankings, 49, 37, 41, 35, 49 and 49. That's an average class rank of 42. So on average, Neil Brown is ranking a class rank on average 12 spots better than Kansas State. Oh, by the way, those of you that don't remember, Kansas State won the Big 12 championship in 2022. So he's had one losing season. He's 45-25 with a conference championship in 6 years. Neil Brown is 34-33, hasn't been ranked the entire time he's been here. Kansas State has been ranked at some point every has been ranked at some point in the season every year that Chris Klieman's been there. Now, why can't we get over the hump? And you don't give me this crap about how we don't have the resources, because Kansas State's resources are not that much more, if they're even more. They're not that much more deep than ours. So I'm tired of hearing that crap about all these excuses that the people that are still defending Neil Brown are giving.
Right. I don't know. Yeah, your rant is over. And, you know, it's just one of the things where it's your development, the player development is where it's at for me. You don't see a guy getting, like, better. And
some of them are getting worse.
Some of them are getting worse. And it's just he's trying to find answers in the portal, just like everybody else. But they're not coming here. Beanie Biss was about the only one who really panned out as far as portal guy. The guy we got was supposed to be the wide receiver from Oklahoma State. I think he has 3 catches on a year, you know, and they're also getting paid. I mean, they're getting paid to come here too. Yeah. And I'm just frustrated with it. I'm frustrated with it's nothing's changing, man. And it's
exactly. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
The first 4 years I was done after year 4. Last year I said, hey, if he wins 8 games, I'm willing to see what happens. Maybe if we can do that, maybe we can turn the corner. We won 8 games. I tried to look over the fact that we won 8 games against bad teams. Went and got a good bowl win against UNC. Yeah, they sat 12 players, one of them being their quarterback. That was
doesn't matter. Right. It's a win. You beat who they put on the field.
You did you beat know? Who they put on the field, but yeah, you, I mean, but it, you know, I wouldn't call it an asterisk, but there's still that little, you know, thought in your mind that that matters. Now, I will say this: do I think if UNC plays their entire team that we still win? Yeah, I do. I do think that we still beat them. I don't think we beat them as easy, as handedly. I think it's a closer game. But I do still think we get that win. So I'll give credit for that. But at the end of the day, I was like, all right, maybe we're finally getting ready to turn the corner here. And then we come out against Penn State flat looking like we did. And nothing's gotten better since then.
We have not been competitive against
ranked teams.
The good teams.
Yes.
I mean, Penn State, double digit. You know,
I mean, we were competitive against Pitt. We were beating Pitt. We should have beat Pitt. We were up. Yeah. We were that's, up 10 that's, points that's, with 3
that,
minutes.
That's the killer to the season was Pitt. Pitt loss hurts. That really hurts. It comes back to bite us in the ass every week now. When you look at it. But, you know, you're talking Iowa State. We weren't competitive. No. You know, we just were not competitive. And now back-to-back with K-State. You were not competitive. You're getting beat by 20 points. You're getting beat by 3 scores.
No, we got beat by 4 scores. We got beat by 27 last night.
The only I was trying to lump them.
I'm just trying to
brush a little bit of positivity and call it 20.
There's none of it. Yeah, that's a big difference. That's the difference of 3 touchdowns to 4 touchdowns, and that matters.
The dude tripped and fell. They could have punched one in with 26 seconds left and hung a 50 burger on you. You know, so
we're lucky he tripped.
Neil actually said, he goes, you know, thank you for the respect of not punching one in and hanging 50 on us. You know, but. I just want to talk about our defense for a second, how just the blueprint on our defense was pretty much they're good against the run. They can't stop a pass, you know, and K-State ran their plan. Their quarterback was never even like on the deep shots, you got to throw them deep just to keep them honest.
Yeah.
And hell, right now, just run a seam route on us, and our guys look at each other like, who's covering what? We gave up another one. right down the seam. And that's back-to-back 60-yard touchdowns 2 weeks in a row down the seam. Now, you're trying to tell me it's another blown assignment, you know, or I don't know, he hasn't came out with nothing. But I think you got major problems on both sides of the ball, schematic-wise.
Did you see the way their quarterback just – he looks – as a matter of fact, the first big pass they had in the game, it was down on the my end of the field, and it was, like, right in front of me, and I was watching behind him, like – and it's kind of hard to explain, I guess, but he's in the pocket. One of our guys comes around on his left side, okay? And one of their blockers pick him up. Did you see what he did? His pocket awareness was really acute. He comes around, and he looks at him. He takes one step up further into the pocket and lets his blocker catch him, and then he delivers a freaking strike, right, like 20-yard pass right
now. He had a block to protect him is what he had.
Yeah, but it was close because he took that step as the blocker picked him up. Like, it was close, but he saw him coming and was like, oh, I'm going to step up real quick, get this pass out of here. And I don't think he's like no Tom Brady or anything.
No.
But I said coming in, like, he's a good quarterback.
Good enough to beat you. Good enough to beat about eight teams, nine teams this year.
The thing is, everyone said, well, his stats aren't that great. His stats don't have to be. Giddens running up the ball, and it's a two-headed monster. And people weren't committing to Giddens. We committed to Giddens.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy we did that, but
it just seemed like I even watched a replay this morning at 1:30 in the morning.
Oh God.
I'm a glutton for punishment, I guess, you know? I got home and turned it. I had it recorded and, sat there and watched it just to get a different perspective, compared to where my seats are. And, dude, it was all night long catch ease. I mean, they were playing toss, man. And it's like, where is your defense at? And I know you're playing zone or whatever, and they're finding holes in it, but come on. I mean,
I'm sitting there, and my little brother-in-law who played college football, and he's sitting there saying, you know, we're in a cover two right now. Why? I said, I don't know. I said, what do you think? He said, we should be in a cover three. Would have been in a cover three. There's passes that we wouldn't have gotten. We're in a cover three when we should have been in a cover two. And I don't know. I'm not a coach. I'm not getting paid millions of dollars to make these decisions. But it's like, you know, he played college football and he's sitting here 100 yards away, not up in the box where he can see the entire field below him, saying, we're in a cover two right now. We shouldn't be there. And then boom, oh, shoot, they gained 15 yards. It's like, okay, damn. I don't know. It's frustrating. And I think that's the season right now. It's frustrating.
It is.
That's what it is. We expected after last year to maybe take a step forward this year. And quite frankly, we're taking a step back. So with that, let's move into a little bit of positivity. You want to get a little bit of positivity, Laney? I'll give you a little bit of positivity, okay?
Okay.
Here's your positivity. Arizona's next.
When
they are definitely not what we thought they were going to be this year.
No, they're
I think
not.
A lot of people across the country thought Arizona probably going to be one of the favorites to win the Big 12.
True.
Yeah, I think it was their coach, right? Their coach left. And I was like, yeah, maybe they won't be that great. I thought they would be better than they are. A lot of people did. excuse me, guys. Sorry about this. You know, coughing. but, you know, both teams are 3-4. That were a game better in conference. They're 1-3 in conference. They've only beat Utah, who was another team that everybody thought was going to be really good. And man, those Ute fans, I like watching Utah lose because their fans are just, you know,
bad humans.
I didn't say it. But one thing that there's only really one thing that really scares me about Arizona because their quarterback isn't real great. They've played some decent defenses, but that McMillan receiver. He's almost up to 800 yards on the season. He's a good receiver, and he's fast. He's shifty. I'm a little scared that – damn it. I'm a little scared he might burn us a little bit with our secondary. Their quarterback not being real great, but with our secondary being not great, I think that might let down the blinders enough for him to maybe make a few passes against us that he might not normally make against better defenses. So I think there's a little worry there. But you know, their defense isn't really fantastic. So
no,
I, you know, I,
their quarterback's really good at extending the play, whether he makes a bad pass or bad decision, but he extends it.
Yeah, he's good.
And he's enough to keep you guessing and in trouble. He's a little shaky. He's we're gonna make him look like an All-American. And I think we go out there and we beat bad teams. That's what we do. And Arizona's not that good. We are a little bit better. We win. We beat Arizona on the road. Let's go out west, get one, get on ass on a plane, get back home. That's
you got it. You got a score prediction for that?
You ready for it right now? On top of my head, let's shoot it. I'm going to say 34-24, West Virginia.
10-point win.
10-point win.
I have a 10-point. I have a 10-point win as well. I have 27-17. Jaheim White's hurt. Don't know if he's going to play. I think that's going to play a little bit into us maybe not being able to move the balls efficiently. Mm-hmm. CJ's still good, obviously. We still got Jalen. Like, it's not like we don't have good back.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think we all know that the running game hasn't really panned out like we kind of thought it was going to in the preseason. I think losing Jaheim hurts us. I just don't think we're going to score a whole lot, but I think we're going to score enough to win. I do think we're going to beat Arizona. I tried to be optimistic and give us a win against Iowa State, and that didn't work.
I did too. Believe me, I did too.
But I am going with us on this one because, like you said, they're a bad team, and we beat bad teams. Now, you want to hash out this rest of the schedule crap? Let's do it.
Let's go.
All right. Arizona, we've already talked about that.
Yep.
We got after that. We got
a bye week.
We got a bye week, but then our next opponent is Cincinnati.
I'm pumped for that because I'm going.
You're going.
Yeah.
Well, you're at this point right now. At this point, to me, every game left on the schedule, every one of them, I still think we lose to Texas Tech because it's in Lubbock. They're better than we thought they were going to be. The Baylor game, we'll see how the rest of their couple more weeks pan out for them. The Baylor game may have been a trap game. They may not have really been paying attention because Baylor's not good this year. They may have been thinking, yeah, it's Baylor, not really worried about it. Let's go out here and toss the ball around, get a win. Bit them in the butt. Bit them in the butt hard. They got thrashed pretty good yesterday. Did not expect that. So, Texas Tech, I'm penciling that in as a loss. Okay? The rest of our schedule, there is not any game that I give us more than a 50% chance to win. They're all toss-ups. They're all toss-ups.
Arizona's not a toss-up. We win that game.
Well, no, I mean outside of Arizona. Yeah. I mean after Arizona. I think we're going to beat Arizona.
Cincinnati's – you got Cincinnati's a toss-up?
You damn right I got Cincinnati.
Cincinnati? Oh, my goodness. Nah, Cincinnati's not good. We beat Cincinnati at Cincinnati. That's a pretty much – like I'm saying I bought my tickets, you know, 2 months ago, but it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of, you know, Mountaineer fans there that travel and that still, you know, have a little bit of hope for, and yeah, we beat Cincinnati. We come home. I think we beat Baylor. UCF is enough to give me a headache because I have no idea. I don't think anybody knows what the hell UCF is going to do on a week to week basis. UCF and Texas Tech is the games that they're the sketchy ones on my, yeah. I think we win. I hate to even say this. I think we win 4 out of 5. And I think we finish with 7.
I think you're high. Okay. Cincinnati's 5-2 and they're 3-1 in the conference.
Okay.
That's a better team than we are. Now, are they ranked right now? No, they're not ranked right now. Do I think they're going to end up being ranked? I don't know. They lost to Texas Tech, and who else did they lose to?
Who they beat?
Pitt. They lost. They beat Towson, which, you know,
no game at the beginning. No, who they beat in the Big 12?
Oh, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
They beat Houston. They beat UCF. Trash. They beat Houston. They beat UCF. Okay. They beat Arizona State.
Okay.
Okay, and they got Colorado this week. Probably a loss. I imagine.
Yeah,
I imagine Sanders and Travis Hunter will probably take care of business against them. And then after that, they have Iowa State, Kansas State, and TCU. So
loss,
I
loss,
think
loss.
They
for them.
TCU could beat them, might not beat them. I wouldn't say that's a loss for them. Iowa State and Kansas State, I would venture right now saying that's a loss for them. So that's why, but look at what we just went through. That's why I have it as a 50-50 game. Mm-hmm. Because they're losing to a lot of the same teams that we're losing, but they're also beating some of the same teams that I don't figure they're going to beat. Yeah. So I mean, that's a 50-50 game for me. Baylor, UCF, 50-50. Baylor's pretty bad, I guess. I will say this: before this week, I had Baylor as the only game left that I gave us more than a 50% chance. Now I really don't know. I kind of come down a little bit on that because of the way they. So I don't know. Texas Tech, I think's a loss. Arizona, I think's a win. The three in between, 50% chance on all three of them to me. That's just where I'm at. And I'm surprised I'm there with how I feel right now.
So here's where I'm at. Here's where I'm at with the wrap up. I think we go out there, we beat Arizona, come back, bye week then. Then before we go to Cincinnati. Neil Brown, as many as the people out there, he's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. We're not firing. They do not fire coaches. And then, for one, if you fire, especially during the season, his ass is definitely going to end out the season. And there might be a sit down at the end of the season, but we are going to win six, definitely. Seven, very much possible. Eight, not going to happen. But that's where I'm at with it. And Neil Brown will be the coach next year. That's me, Lanny Mo, just saying it. Throw tomatoes. I'm okay with that. But that's where I'm at with it. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It's simple.
I don't want to believe it. I think there's a possibility he's still here with 6-6 season, because seven, he'll come back for sure. You know, Gordon Gee will get up there and say, it was a successful season. We beat everybody that's under 500. He'll be happy about it. But 7 wins, I think they'll bring him back. 6-6, I would want to question it. 5-7, I certainly want to question it. But here's the thing. Until butts start leaving the seats empty, they're not going to care. They're not going to care.
That's the truth. You're right with that.
And the TV money is still going to come in regardless. So I hate to think about the fact that he's here next year, because I'm telling you right now, Lanny, as much as I love WVU football, I'm not making 6 trips to Morgantown next year to watch Neil Brown football again. I'm not doing it. I'll take that money. I'll put that money other places. My wife and I put an awful lot of money into these trips for six, sometimes seven trips to Morgantown every year.
You could put that money into a nice cruise of margaritas.
We'll just add another vacation to the schedule. That's fine with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not doing it anymore. I can't. I went up there yesterday. I sat there with no optimism. Now, in spite of Neil Brown's words, yeah, I did have fun. You know, I come to Morgantown to see you and hang out in the Blue Lot. But guess what, Lanny? Morgantown's 2 hours away, man. I could drive up any weekend I want to come play, get round of golf with you and hang out.
Yes.
Hey, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be a game day weekend. But no, if he's our coach next year, I won't be doing it. So that's just what it is. But with that, you know, I think it's time to wrap up. You know, we're both depressed now. I do have a little bit of an announcement. Well, we will not be putting an episode out next week. I am going to be on vacation for a couple weeks, going across the pond, out of the country. So we won't be doing one just because of the time difference. I'm not getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to record an episode with Lance. So
I would not do it for you either. That's a fact.
There you go. So, we will be off next week. I'll be back, the couple days after our bye week. So, you know, we'll put something together, get it out there before the Cincinnati game. And
to any new listeners that scanned our banner out in the Blue Lot, the ones I talked with, please like, subscribe, comment, because I love it me personally, whenever he's like, Bub, I got some stuff for you to go over, and I'm not telling you what it's about. You know, like some of them I read, some, you know, but, you know, please comment anything, you know, come at us or don't come at, agree with us, disagree, whatever. We, our banner, our logo says it. True fan, you know, real talk, real from real fans. That's what we are.
Oh my God, geez, it's real fans, real talk. Jeez.
Yep, that's it. Yep. But you know, it's, and that's what we are. We are, you know, we do this for fun. We get $0 out of this. And
I mean, hey, if you guys want to like us enough and build this thing up with us to where we do get a couple dollars, cool.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm getting some shirts, maybe a little bit of merch out there for y'all. But
yeah, heck yeah.
But you know, this is just fun for us. It's our opinion. You know, we're not attacking nobody, and no way, shape, or form. Yeah. And I won't, you know, even if you put your, you know what I'm saying, your name in your comments, what I'm just not going to come at you and be like, listen up here, this is how I feel about you. You're a bad human being. That might happen. But anyway, just like, subscribe, catch us out on C-Ray. Go ahead.
Well, all the stuff. I mean, I've got it everywhere, man. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple. We're on, of course, obviously we're here.
Yeah.
Just, you know, type it in, ear to ear podcast, and
tell your friends and family, give us a shout out. Okay.
All right. That works for me. Everybody, hope you guys have a good week.
And we hope we kept you entertained from ear to ear. Let's go.